Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, is hitting the road this summer from May 31st through June 14th. We're doing part two of our U.S. live tour.
Whoa. I came up with a name for this one.
Yeah,
it's
called
the Areas Tour.
Kind of
similar.
Dungeons and Daddies, the Areas Tour, feat Taylor Swift. We're hitting the road again. Midwest and East Coast dates on sale. Tickets are available now. We're starting up in St. Paul, Minnesota. We're going to Milwaukee, Chicago, Indianapolis, Detroit, Pelham, Tennessee, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, and Boston.
Wow.
More info on our website, dungeonsanddaddies.com/live.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It is called ZBiotics. ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that is to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this product down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. I was going to a fancy dinner. One of those ones where they pair wine with stuff, and I always feel left out. It's just, you know, it's like you're spending so much money in the first place, and you're like, well, you know, they did spend all this time to make the wine, like, a whole thing, and I'd like that. I'd like to try that. The vision of this artiste in the kitchen. However, I have some of this product for free. They sent it to us, so I tried it before this social outing, and I suffered not from my usual ill effects. I still think, though, I overpaid. Like, on the whole, it just is a lot of money for one meal, you know? That's all I'm saying. Vacations, weddings, birthdays, and reunions. Oh my, there's so much going on! Get the most out of your spring plans by stocking up on pre-alcohol now. Go to zbiotics.com/dungeons to get 15% off your first order when you use Dungeons at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/dungeons and use the code Dungeons at checkout for 50% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Dungeons and Daddies is a rowdy, horny, violent podcast for grown-ups. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
There's good, throw the ball, catch the ball, run the ball up the field teams. There's great, throw the ball, catch the ball, run the ball up the field teams. And then there's the doodlers.
The doodlers!
The doodlers!
The doodlers! I've been beholding the Supper Bowl for 300 years, and those fucking doodlers are the most disgraceful team I've ever seen.
Love them or hate them, you've got to admit they changed the game forever.
20 for 20.
So there I am, signing up four middle-aged dads for the Supper Bowl.
Darryl Wilson, nice to meet ya.
Glenn Close, special teams.
Henry Oak, I believe I was the safety?
Hi, I'm Ron.
A moody teenager, I'm fine, and a homicidal 8-year-old.
I am not a role model. I get paid to bring the pain. I said to myself, this is gonna be the quickest game in Supper Bowl history, and I was right, but not for the reasons I thought.
Second down, Doodlers in possession. Wilson moving along the outside. Here comes the snap. And oh, Henry Oak just turned into a giant bird.
Yeah, I just figured, hey, I can turn into a bird and, like, fly over them. So we did that, and it worked great. And so we kept doing it, and we won the game that way.
After about 30 minutes of that druid fella flying the ball back and forth, the crowd really started to thin.
It was the most boring Supper Bowl game I have ever beheld. An absolute disgrace. I'm just glad it's over. All I want is to take a nice, hot eye bath and forget this ever happened. They're playing again tomorrow? God fucking damn it!
Welcome to Dungeons and Daddies, not a BDSM podcast, a true crime hybrid role-playing game podcast about
why
four
did
dads.
You start saying that?
I don't remember why.
I don't get the joke,
crime.
But it makes me laugh, which is weird.
It's
It's because everything we say on this podcast is audio crimes that we'll be persecuted for later on in our lives.
Nice.
So I'm just giving the fine folks, the prosecutors at The Hague, a little bit of help when they go and research through all this, when they finally put us all on trial. This is a podcast about four dads from our world flung into the Forgotten Realms in a quest to rescue their lost sons. My name is Freddie Wong. I play Glenn Close, the rock and roll bard of the group. This week's Glenn Fact, since we're kind of in a sporting mood, we're in the midst of football fever, Glenn in high school played football.
Oh.
And if I played football, you mean sold weed to the quarterback of the football team.
Nice.
Weed and laser pointers were the two big money makers for Glenn in high school.
The cornerstone of any successful high school entrepreneur.
You know, one he sold to the cool kids, and the other one he sold to the cooler kids. I'll let you figure out which one's which, ladies and germs.
True story, the quarterback at my high school got busted for smoking weed through his inhaler. That was how he rigged up, like he could put a joint in his inhaler. Kids, don't do this. This is Will Campos, aficionado of kids not smoking weed. Don't do this, but this did happen, but he did get caught, so that should be a lesson to you. Yeah, but he had it in his inhaler, and it was like it went around school.
I don't understand how that even works. Was he lighting it and then just like...
I don't know, man. I didn't know how weed works. For all I know, this was a total lie that someone passed off on me.
Well, was there still, like, albuterol in it? Because, like, I feel like that could fuck you up. Like, if you're, like, a weed uterol.
Begging our audience to not do this.
Without us. Don't do this without us.
The second it came out of my mouth, hi, please don't smoke weed through your inhaler. I was like, this makes no sense for the reasons you bring up, Freddie. Like, it would, like, there would be sweet smoke pouring out of his inhaler.
I think you were lied to, dude.
I think I was bamboozled. I think that's what happened. Maybe, you know what? Here's what it must have been. I think
your mom told you that, didn't she?
No.
She was like, are you sure that friend with inhalers?
I think maybe it was like he hit his joint in the inhaler.
That makes more sense.
That makes more sense. Maybe he didn't smoke it through the inhaler.
Because I'm like, did he just invent like vape before vapes happened? Like, who is this fucking Elon Musk quarterback that you had that's going to make billions of dollars?
My name is Matt Arnold. I play Daryl Wilson, a stay-at-home coach dad who becomes a barbarian in the Forgotten Realms. Speaking of the sticky icky and that good green, simple dad fact for Daryl. His favorite Sesame Street character is Cookie Monster. That's it.
Yeah.
Just pulling out there.
What?
Grant's is Grover.
What does that have to do with weed?
Nothing.
Or green. Cookie Monster's blue.
Cookie Monster loves to eat. He eats the munchies. He's got the munchies. He's high on weed.
Okay.
Look, what I've learned from my many years of podcast/radio is as long as you act like it's a smooth transition, it feels like a smooth transition. So it doesn't actually matter. It's, you know, it's a question in their minds. Like, oh, what does this have to do about weed? And then nothing. But they're there.
Matt, why is that his favorite?
Because he likes cookies. It's also Matt's favorite, simple, watching Sesame. He's
such a complex character, such a portrait. Yep.
But Grant likes Grover, which always annoyed Daryl because Grover's just dumb Cookie Monster. He's just also a blue puppet that's not as big and doesn't eat cookies, so he doesn't
Grover's
get...
Grover's a doofus.
Grover is just dumb Cookie Monster.
Grover's like indie Cookie Monster.
I don't get it. If you like the blue puppet, like the big one that eats all the cookies. Like, why do you like Grover? Grover's the one that shakes the hand with like the Secretary of State and stuff. That's boring.
You don't understand Grover. Grover is like...
Daryl doesn't, that's for sure.
No, neither of you, clearly. If you would even insinuate that Grover is a lesser puppet than Cookie Monster, I'm not on board with that.
Well, I believe Grover is actually played by Frank Oz. Like, no, Grover is like one of the best performances. Frank Oz literally portrayed him as like his puppet for a long time, so... But, you know, that's not... Daryl doesn't care about the behind the scenes. He's just like, I don't get it.
Do you think maybe Daryl is just mad that Grant doesn't like the puppet that reminds him of himself? Do you think what it is?
Yep.
Do you think that's going on?
Definitely. Yep. Daryl definitely... Will gets it. Daryl definitely sees himself in Cookie Monster. And is like, oh, my son doesn't like the me puppet. This hurts
that's
me deep
so
down.
That's so suffocating. That is so crazy codependent. That's nuts.
I mean, he doesn't read it.
Also, Grant's favorite puppet is not Grover. It's actually Snuffy, but he didn't want to come off as a downer when Daryl asked him. So he's like, Grover? Just fucking guessed.
Like Daryl is a puppet of his own emotions here.
Dang.
Oh, wow. Damn.
Well, see, there was a complex character backstory there. We teased it.
Yeah, a lot to do with weed, baby. All right.
Found it in the room.
Hey, everyone. My name's Will Campos. I play Henry Oak, hippie, crunchy, munchy, Birkenstock rocket, granola, druid, nature, druid, hippie dad of the dads. And my Henry fact this week is that Henry smells amazing right now because he finally took a bath and he realizes that he smells good. I think usually like Henry's approach to bathing is just like when it happens, right? Like, you know, like he goes through his life and manages to, in his opinion, bathe enough. But he definitely has not been bathing that much since getting to the Forgotten Realm. So he got a funk going. And I was also thinking that like Henry felt really good after the match. So he decided to treat himself to a little like whatever the Forgotten Realm shampoo is. And so he like he put some goop in his hair and finally washed that tangly mane of blonde hair out. And his hair is like just like this. I feel like it's like mega poofed out in this episode. I just want to say that Henry's hair is like bright yellow, the color of the sun. And it is just the frizziest ball of hair you've ever seen in your life. That's where
he's at right
now.
We probably didn't realize it was blonde before.
He thought he was dirty blonde, and no, he's just platinum blonde under there.
But he dirty.
I feel like the Forgotten Realms shampoo are just like a bunch of frogs that are hopping around the showers, and you just pick them up and like rub their secretion off on your hand and then rub it in your hair.
That's exactly what it was, and the frog smelled like eucalyptus, and
yeah, exactly.
His scalp is all tingling, and it may have been poisonous.
Speaking of poisonous, hi, my name is Beth May, and I play Ron Stampler, emotionally detached stepfather and rogue. So today's dad fact is a fact of clarification. Just want to say that Ron did not murder his father. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm ruining the podcast by saying that. But yeah, like I just.
There's reasonable doubt that he didn't. Is what
maybe,
you're saying.
Yeah, there's like needs to be a true crime documentary spinoff if Freddie is so desperate to turn this into a true crime podcast.
He didn't intentionally kill Willie.
We need the staircase for Ron versus Willie Stampler.
I like that your fact was just to put a point on it that's like you did not murder and all we did was just confuse everybody and make jokes about how maybe he still did murder. So we
well,
undid
like
everything you tried
to
do.
Something. I feel like I just... I
from your perspective, then, what exactly happened?
I think that it might come up, so I'm going to keep that.
Okay. So it means
she
he murdered
said,
him.
As a way to excuse herself from improv.
Ron's going to start walking, and his limp is going to disappear.
It's like J.J. Abrams saying that fucking Benedict Cumberbatch isn't Khan, right?
Yeah, he's
like,
not yeah. Khan.
He's not Khan. He's a totally new character. Yeah, he was Khan.
Stay
you guys
tuned.
Figured it out, but...
But I still think you're stupid, so I was just going to say it.
You did it. You opened my mystery box and found the fucking secrets therein.
That kept happening for a while. Do you remember when like Christopher Nolan got caught with that with Joseph Gordon-Levitt and fucking Talia in the same movie? Like, is she Talia? He's like, no, shut up. And like, is he Robin? Is he Robin? Like, fuck you. He's not Robin, you idiot. Shut up. And I was like, oh, shit.
I'm Anthony Birch. I'm your daddy master. The dad fact for this week is that Joffrey from Game of Thrones is in Batman Begins.
That's right.
Wait, what? Really?
He's Commissioner Gordon's kid.
Oh.
What?
Before I knew that this was Joffrey's actor, whose name I don't know, I'm sorry. It was my sister and I's favorite part of the entire fucking movie. In the third act, when everything's going crazy and there's fear toxin everywhere, this kid's like, I can't find my dad, to like a cop-looking person. And the cop is actually one of Ra's al Ghul's goons. And he just grabs the kid in the face and just shoves him really hard. And then Katie Holmes is like, hey! And then the guy just points at her silently and Katie Holmes shuts up. And it's like weirdly aggressive and like nonsensical. But if you go back and watch that scene, that little kid that's like, my mom is Joffrey.
That sounds like a good thing to watch with that gladiator scene, the horse scene. It's like a good feature.
It's
good double feature.
It's an aperitif for watching a child get trampled.
Why are you guys watching these two movies? Well, how does this double feature work? Well, you see in both movies, a kid gets fucking block rocked.
They're both 3 hours long. We're both watching them for 130 seconds where a child gets hurt. Last episode, you all went to the town of Balls Deep, where they run a bi-weekly Supper Bowl, where the best team that plays catch the ball, throw the ball, or run the ball across the field gets a prize of either cash money or a magical bowl that nobody ever actually takes because it's basically worthless. You showed up, you had a bunch of soda, you met a problematic female character. You
this podcast is so stupid. I'm about
it's
to
a
walk
very
away.
Bad podcast.
You're like, you guys are in Balls Deep, you had a Supper Bowl, you guys had soda. Okay, keep going. I'm like losing my mind here. Okay.
If this is someone's first episode, we've lost them. Like, this is not a good first episode.
Honestly, nobody should ever listen to this podcast. Yeah, and then you played some football, immediately invalidated the entire game of football by having Henry turn into a bird and fly the ball into the end zone over and over. And then as you were celebrating...
Henry took a bath.
Henry took a bath. Grant went out and talked to Yeet Bigley, the quarterback of the opposing team that you're going to fight this week, the Hotties, and had a little conversation with him.
And it went great. As far as I know, it was terrific.
Yeah, I still haven't heard it.
Only Ron heard it, and in real life, only Beth and Anthony and Freddie have heard it.
And Will read some passing spoilers about it on Tumblr.
Oh, okay.
On Tumblr. Oh, see, I didn't go to Tumblr.
What are you doing on Tumblr, Will?
Checking up on my show, Freddie. What the fuck do you think I'm doing?
Speaking of Tumblr, baby, I don't know where this started, but baby, it's a hot Glenn summer. I'm loving all of them hot Glenn.
Yeah, hot Glenn's taking over hot Daryl for Glenn sure. There's a lot more hot Glenn.
I should just say that, be like, no. Glenn is just dad bod, just hard dad it's bod. Everyone's putting him with the, you know, the fucking the
yeah,
cum
the V,
gutters
got the V
shit.
Going.
Yeah, I like I
V for Vendaddy.
All right.
And basically, as you
V for Vendaddy. It works because he's just explaining things like a dad, but aggressively.
Whew, okay. So everybody went to sleep.
Long rests. Everyone long rests.
Everybody long rested. You get all your health and all your spell slots back and everything like that.
Nice.
But then when you went to sleep.
We leveled up. Do we level up?
Nope.
No.
Did Henry level up for doing a good job in the football game?
Uh-huh. And then everybody went to sleep. Your sleep was interrupted by the familiar visage of Willie Stampler, who has appeared in your dreams and said, how about a dad huddle?
Oh, shit, that's right. I forgot
that's
about
right.
That.
I forgot about that ending.
Oh, man, what a twist. I'm back in the moment.
Hey, fuck you, buddy. Dad huddle's our thing.
Yeah, we have a trademark on this.
Yeah, get out of here, Willie. We know who
wake
you
up,
are
wake
now.
Up,
we
wake
don't
up,
care.
Wake up,
we don't
wake
want
up,
to
wake
talk.
Up. Glenn, do that poop thing again.
Show him your butthole, Glenn. Get this guy out of here.
You keep showing the butthole as if that's dunking on me. I don't care. It feels like it's more dunking on you to show me your butthole. I'm embarrassed on your behalf.
Well, you're a butthole, so it's just a face-to-face meeting.
Well done. Well done. So I just want to give you guys a quick update.
I grab my cheeks and talk as if like Ace Ventura style.
How do you like this? Huh? How's this going? Huh? Look at me. I'm Willie Stampler. I'm a Willie. Willie, Willie, Willie.
Hey, sorry, guys, that you had to see that.
Willie starts laughing. Like, he's genuinely a little bit delighted by that. But he says, you're doing pretty good. I feel like you're headed for the best case scenario for any dad. We all know what the best case scenario for any dad is. But
What do you mean by that? That's a weird thing to say.
No. He wants you to ask that, Daryl. We don't care what you think being the best dad is, sir, because you are a bad dad. It seems like you were really mean to Ron, and that sucks. And you should apologize to him, you jerk.
Done? You'll figure out what the best case scenario is. I heard you're playing football. You running any fun plays? Doing a pass fake? I love a good,
no.
I love a good pass fake.
No.
You what? Don't know football. What's a pass fake?
It's where you pretend like you're going to pass, but you do a run. I'm not an idiot.
A fake pass?
You can write that one down. You can use that one. It'll be useful for you. Anyway, I'm not here to make a deal with you. I'm not here to do the negotiation thing like I did before. I know we're well past it. I just wanted to ask you just a quick question.
You know, no.
I mean,
you know,
no. We don't.
No,
no
we
don't.
We don't care, you know?
No. What about Peyton?
What about Peyton?
Daryl, don't.
Who do you think gave him that Charleston chew?
And as he says that, Daryl, in your stomach, you feel an intense pain.
What?
What?
A fist is inside of your stomach, and it just grabs you from the inside and just clenches as hard as it can, and you feel your insides being torn up, and you wake up, and the pain doesn't go away. It's like the worst indigestion you've ever had times 10. And all of you spring awake by the sound of Daryl screaming.
I was about to do what I normally do with food poisoning, which is quietly go to the bathroom so nobody can hear me, and then go ahead and pinwheel in the bathtub from all my orifices. So that's what I was about to do right now. But I guess everybody wakes up at the same time.
Yeah, I suppose so. I want you to roll constitution.
Roll stealth.
No problem. Just ate something. Not a big deal. The roll constitution, I get plus 6. Okay, so let me just do my math here. Plus 6 on a 2, carry the 1. That's an 8.
Okay, so you start vomiting blood.
Whoa. Oh, my God. Daryl.
Oh, God. Oh, this is the chew.
Will he poison me?
1 second, and I cast Lesser Restoration on Daryl.
Okay. What does that do?
You touch a creature and end either one disease or one condition afflicting it. The condition can be blinded, deafened, paralyzed, or poisoned. So I think this would count as poisoned. So I'm going to try to cure his poison.
You can try to use it. Yeah, you'll have to spend the spell slot and everything, but
okay.
It doesn't work. If you want to roll Arcana, maybe you'll know why.
Can we do a one shot that's just like House MD in the D&D universe, and all this guy does is just, I cast Cure Wounds, and he just goes around, and that's all he fucking does. It's just
He brings out the white poster board, and he just writes Cure Wounds on it with a question mark.
Oh my God, that's so good. And he's got to be such a toxic fucking asshole, and everyone's too stupid to realize he should cast Cure Wounds.
And everybody comes up like, House, you can't just cure wounds on whatever sick patient comes into the clinic. And, well, yeah. I can.
You know what, Dr. House? Why don't you cure the wounds on your own heart? Doesn't seem like your spells reach that deep.
And then they have sex.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, Arcana roll, you said?
Yeah.
I think I can use whatever spell I need to cure any wounds, so.
I am an American person with an American, accent.
They're
all like, vomits up more blood. He's like, oh, guys, this is all really funny, but.
Glenn, knock me out. Make me go back to sleep. Put me back to sleep.
I always knew candy was going to kill me.
Ron, I need you to put your head down between your legs and like hyperventilate.
Okay.
And then stand up really fast.
Okay.
And then Glenn does that thing that like some kids did at like my grade school, which was stopped by the administration, where people hyperventilated and then they stood up and then like you pinch their like arteries for like 10 seconds and they pass out.
Oh my God.
Yep.
Okay. So do I pass out?
Yeah, I feel like, yeah, because you're doing that consensually, you don't have to roll for anything. So yeah, you pass out and you're once again back with Will and he goes,
oh, okay. So you're back. What's up?
I figured, well, maybe I was the one you really wanted to talk to, and now there's nobody else here, so it's just you and me, so you could tell me what you did to Daryl.
Yeah, no, I would love to. Oh no, the connection, it's so bad. I can't, it's so fuzzy.
No, this
I can't
isn't
even
a, no,
I can't
hey,
see.
Oh, hey,
and he's just waving his hands around in front
several
of his face.
Phone calls. I've made several phone calls here and there was no connection issue, and I know that you're here and I'm Hello?
He's like frozen in place for a second, like a connection that got lost on a Zoom call, and then he just sort of disappears, and you're just alone in the darkness.
It's just black text and white letters that just say reconnecting.
Yeah.
Zoom jokes, yow!
But yeah, no, he's gone.
Okay.
And you wake back up.
Ron, what? God, what'd he say? What'd he say?
He said, get well soon. He said,
Oh, God.
He didn't say anything, Daryl.
This is it. I'm gonna die, guys.
No, you're not. You're not gonna die.
Don't wake up, Grant. Don't wake up, Grant. Just tell him I love him, and I'm gonna just. I crawl in the corner. I say, just don't watch me. Don't look at me as I die,
Daryl. You're not gonna die, man.
In the corner.
You gotta be strong, okay?
So as you say, don't wake up, Grant. You turn and you notice that Grant and Payton are standing there, just looking at you. And Payton's going, "Oh no, did I? I didn't mean to do it. I'm so sorry." And Grant's looking at you, like, "Are you okay?" And he's like, kind of panic coming up to you and trying to dab the blood off of your chest and stuff. He's like, "Hey, it's okay.
I kind of put myself up. I'm like, "Boys, you got to give him some space. Just give us some room, okay?
Give us some air. I'm a
druid. I can handle this."
Yeah. Oh, I just spilled some Kool-Aid. I'm totally fine, guys. And then I just tip over and I start vomiting more. I'm fine.
I am going to try to cast Cure Wounds on Daryl.
Okay.
I'm like, which spell slot do I want to burn on saving this man? I'm going to cast.
That's the primary drama of House. It's like he has only
Damn
so
it,
many.
Doc, you've only got three third level spells left.
And it's the first act and I've already used two of them.
This Thursday on Fox, House only has three spell slots, but four patients need his help.
House forgets what V stands for as far as spell components go and he can't do it.
Oh. Because Henry's really concerned, I cast my third level Cure Wounds on Daryl. It's a 3d8 plus 3.
Did you give me an Arcana roll?
I did. I got a 10, so I figured that didn't cut
the
dice.
You got a 10, yeah. Okay, that's no good. You cast Cure Wounds, and the blood stops spewing out of Daryl for a second.
I did it. He's okay. Oh, what a relief.
I still feel terrible, but I'm not spewing. Plus. It feels good. It's okay, Grant. Your dad just ate something bad.
Are you
I'm
sure?
All right. I mean,
it looks very bad.
It felt bad. I mean, you see, look at all the blood. If you remember, Daryl doesn't like blood, and I get woozy, and I just sit down on the bed. I put my head between my legs. Oh God.
I'm patting Daryl on the back. It's okay, man. Just take a second, all right?
Hayden, where did you get that Charleston shoe?
I just sort of had it in my pocket. I just sort of remembered, like, I had this feeling, like, oh, Daryl would like this. Like, when I gave it to him, you know, several episodes back. I just sort of, as far as I can remember, I always had it in my pocket, and I never felt like the right time to eat it, even though it looked delicious.
I'm glad you didn't eat it, man, because Daryl's a big dude, and this still messed him up. So, like,
when I was 6 years old, I ate too many of my aunt's peanut butter cups, and I threw up all peanut butter all Christmas, and I couldn't eat peanut butter for 20 years. Ron, your dad?
Yep.
He fucking ruined Charleston shoes for me, man. This is it.
Oh, no!
I fucking hate your dad. I hate your dad so fucking much. My favorite candy. I can't get the taste out of my mouth. I just start spitting. Oh, God.
So Grant's looking at you with, like, this horror he's never seen you in this situation before. You hear a knock on the locker room door, and the door opens, and you just see the bottom half of an eye and a big mouth, and it's the beholder. And he's like...
I don't know why that got me. That's so fucking funny to me.
Wake up, turds. It's that time for kickoff. Y'all ready? You ready? You good?
We need a sports medicine doctor in here.
You could be a little bit more respectful to the freaking star team calling us turds. You're a turd.
I mean, you're definitely not the favorites.
Hey, Daryl, save it for the field, buddy. Oh, we've got a sick player. We've had sort of like an eldritch candy emergency, and we're going to need just like a couple of minutes to deal with the situation, then we'll be right out.
Hey, do you have a medical degree, beholder?
No, I don't. Why would I?
I don't know. You got a bunch of eyes.
So he respects you enough to think maybe you have a medical degree. Why are you acting like that's an insult? Like,
be on the field in 5 minutes, you turds. Bye.
We need a doctor. Send us a sports doctor.
We don't have sports doctors. You should have one on your team. Every team should have a cleric.
You said that there was all kinds of potions and stuff. Potions, that's right, there was potions. Wait, I run over and I run to the sports drink section that they talked about that we could, you know, drink to like hydrate up and heal ourselves at halftime. You said that last time.
Yes.
What are the sports drinks? I want some brands of sports drinks.
Okay, so one of them is Haterade, and it increases your damage output for the next half. Ooh. One of them is Gatorade, but it's AID, and it's just a healing potion.
All right, I run back with Gatorade, and I bring it to Daryl. I'm like, Daryl, chug this. This should make you feel a little bit better.
Yeah, electrolytes. Do they have a Pedialyte?
This one's red. I don't know what flavor red is, but it's red.
All right, I drink it.
Okay, so as you pour it into your mouth, the liquid sloshes into your mouth and then sort of solidifies into the shape of a small alligator. And it like tap, 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 like runs down your throat, squirming around.
It's a living.
And then it gets into your stomach and you hear, I guess the rest of you hear from Daryl's mouth, you hear an alligator's voice going, oh shit, what the fuck? And then you hear a loud slam and then a splash. And you feel like whatever this Gatorade creature was that was inside you has discombobulated into liquid.
A stern look comes over Henry's face, and he says, this foe is beyond any of you. This will require the power of herbal nature tea. And so Henry is going to use his nature skill to brew up a gut cleansing, hardcore nature brew tea. And he's like, Daryl, this is the tea I use when I've accidentally had something with meat in it and it fucks up my digestion for a week. This shit will fucking cleanse out the surliest butt and gut system of the gnarliest human being alive.
Butt
I promise
gut
you.
System. I don't like that.
We're going to take that Charleston chew and we're going to fucking destroy it, my friend.
Gut health, man. Gut health. Important. Go, Benry. I'm good. Sorry. Let's do it.
Okay, so I got a 16. So basically, I scour strange little bits of grass from outside. I use like a little bit of the runoff from Henry's bathwater. There's like a mushroom growing in one of the showers, and I scrape that off. Yeah, I've got a couple loose tea leaves that have been in my pocket the entire time.
I thought you said loose teeth. No.
Some loose teeth. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I find a couple loose teeth. I throw them in there and then I burn it under a super intense flame. And then like a pungent, frothy brew comes burbling out and I give it to Daryl. And I just say, plug your nose and drink this, man.
Give me a constitution saving throw, Daryl, as you drink Henry's secret stuff.
12 plus 6, so 18.
You feel as basically a Dragon Ball Z fight is happening within your gut of the like holistic herbal crunchy, munchy nature of the herbal tea that Henry has just poured down your throat. I don't know why, but in my mind, he swished around his mouth and then spat into your mouth like a baby bird.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that's what I think happened. That's my AU.
I've been picturing the whole time the scene in Army of Darkness where that tiny Ash crawls into Ash's mouth and he like pours the scalding hot water down his throat.
Yeah, it's basically fighting whatever the hell this creature inside of you is. And you feel it slowly that Henry's herbal tea is actually winning and it's pushing the creature further and further down your digestive tract.
Sounds like a political discussion at the dinner table. Am I right, fellas?
I put my ear up to Daryl's tummy and I hear it rumbling and I go, he's gonna blow! Clear the room! And then I start rushing Daryl to whatever the Forgotten Realms toilet is.
This is our chance, by the way. It's the only chance we're gonna have, I think, this whole campaign. We could try and figure out a way to shrink ourselves down and have an inner space episode. It's like our one shot.
You're right. Oh,
it's
no!
Our one shot.
Our time shall come again.
Oh, I don't know if we're ever going to feel like, could you imagine the derail? People would be slivid. It'd be like, all right, here comes part two of the football thing.
Can't wait to see what they do with Grant's trauma.
And then it's just like the entire episode is spent inside Daryl's butt.
Okay, so what happens? I mean, it seems like I don't have agency here. So what happens to my body?
It's up to you. Like, do you want to let it out or do you want to hold it? Or do
you have a choice? I mean, if it's coming out, yeah, I guess I mean, if it's anything like food poisoning, what you're describing, it feels like it's just coming out.
So blue.
Yeah, no, it's not great. I want to off screen the majority of it. But like before you run into a stall.
So here's what happens is me and Daryl run into the bathroom and then it's like in a movie when a woman's giving birth and they just cut. It's just Glenn and Ron like pacing around outside, wiping their brows and
checking
like,
their watches.
I shout out like, we need hot water. And then I run back in. And then like about 2 hours later, I come out and I'm just like,
we just missed our game because we had to be on the field for 5 minutes.
Yeah, the beholder comes back. He's like, you guys forfeit.
It's like the scene in Bridesmaid, but instead of being cowards and hiding it under the dress, I just trip and my butt is in midair and I just fountain. And all my
I don't like that.
You said you wanted to have it off screen, but you all kept talking, so that's what happens now. I trip on my face and I let it all out.
Oh, no.
Well, it's you're wearing your pants at the time, so.
Yeah, I'm desperately trying to pull my pants off, and I start crying. I'm like, oh, God, I'm trying to pull my pants off. And
Grant, like, your face is below the bottom door of the stall, so you're, like, actually visible as you're crying and in all this pain. And Grant's like, Dad, are you okay? Like, genuine concern in his voice. And he's like reaching out to like grab your hand. He's like, Dad.
Don't touch anything. Please look away. I love you too much. Please look away. You don't want to see this. God, don't see this.
No, it's okay. I'm here.
This is nobody. Your mom. Nobody should see this. Oh, God.
I'm like still trying to pull my pants down, but it's just too late. It's just like a big soggy bag, and I'm just curled up.
No, I said I wanted to mostly be off screen.
Oh God, oh God.
It's a podcast, Anthony. There is no screen.
No.
So do we have like an understudy or something that we could put out on the field while this is going on? I mean, I feel like I'm worth two players, but I'm also not a bird.
You guys play without me. Just all look away. I'm just going to go.
That's okay.
I'm going to go clean up. I just take all my clothes off and I just start walking towards the shower.
Which is canonically the way that Matt loves to go to the bathroom. Yeah.
I'm like, just don't look at me. Can I just go to rinse myself? Do I feel better?
Yeah, you do.
Like, did that work?
But what? I shudder to even consider asking this question. But did whatever was inside come out? And is it a thing? Like, is it a beast? What manner
of
magic?
Is it like Dreamcatcher?
I mean, we're going full on Cthulhu with this thing. If you look, you are going to take some untakebackable sanity damage.
I'm screaming at nobody to look. I'm like, don't look. I'm like, dear God, don't look, please. I don't know what the geography is, but I feel like the beholder's coming to check on us and I'm just walking past him, like completely naked and covered in my own filth. I'm just like, you're going to need to clean up back there. I just keep walking towards the shower.
You know what's great about this episode? This episode is a great way to just wipe the internet clean of all fan art forever from this show, because everyone's done now, right? And no one's going to fucking touch this show anymore.
Okay, so the beholder comes back and he goes,
are you guys done with your stupid stick? Come out. It's time. We're playing your song.
I come out with a towel wrapped around myself. I'm like, all right, guys, nothing happened. We're good to go.
Wait, are you wearing a jersey?
Well, I have to go to the locker to get my jersey.
His jersey says number 2 on it.
Anton Chekhov spinning in his grave.
I put my jersey on and I Hey, Beholder Man, you got any, where can I get extra pants? I lost mine.
Hey, Daryl, welcome to the club, my man.
We have spare pants, obviously. Do you want some?
Yes. Okay, so we're waiting for the pants?
Sure.
Okay, I kind of put my legs up. I kind of get in that talking crouch. I'm just like, hopefully I'll get those pants. So, hey, guys, thanks a lot. Sorry I felt sick back there. Hey, Grant, how'd the date go last night? We got some time. I just want to see what's going on.
I feel like there are more important things. Let's talk about it later.
All right, man. I just, you know, I got no pants on, waiting for pants. Just
no, I'm aware. I'm yes. No. No, it's fine. All right. I'm fine.
Well, hey, gang, today's a new day. We got some more sports stuff to do today to figure out this dang anchor thing so we can go home. Let's play some of this dang game, all right? Hands in the middle, doodlers. 3, 2, 1, doodlers.
Doodlers.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dungeons & Dice is brought to you this week by Chime Ding Dong.
What is there? Ding. Hello? Help.
It's me, Beth, here to motivate you about budgeting
Beth,
your savings.
Where are you right now?
I
what
don't
do you
know.
Need?
Oh, it's so dark.
What did you hear on the way?
I heard a chime.
A chime!
Did that chime checking account tell you that you what you heard? You get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 to spot me or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit?
Yes, but I'm still so scared.
Did you drive past good customer service?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you drive past Chime allowing you to overdraft up to $200 with no fees?
That's true.
And let me ask you this. Did you drive past a financial institution without a sense of community?
That's
right.
Yeah.
And where
has banks out there?
If that's the case, then that means Beth is definitely not heading towards Chime, which is a financial institution with a sense of community. 60,000 fee-free ATMs, no monthly fees or maintenance fees. To date, Chime has spotted members. This is their fee-free overdraft up to $200. They've spotted members over $20 billion.
Wait, what?
Well, I mean, you have to. The point is that when you have a direct deposit, you know. They know it's coming, so sometimes, you know, the timing for your bills and stuff gets weird,
okay.
You know?
Okay.
Eligible members get complimentary boosts to increase a friend's spot me limit, and when you give a boost, they can boost you back to raise your limit, just like in Mario Kart. Set up a direct deposit into your Chime account. After qualifying direct deposit of $200 or more, Chime will notify you to enroll in Spot Me. With an activated debit card, Chime will spot you up to your limit when you exceed your balance. Your next direct deposit is applied to your negative balance. Chime never charges fees or interest for using Spot Me. Take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/daddies. That's chime.com/daddies. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank NA or Stride Bank NA members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Dungeons and Dice is brought to you this week by Pretty Litter. Springtime vibes in the air. When I got some flowers in the air as well, and it's nice to be able to smell the flowers and not cat poop. And I can do that thanks to Pretty Litter. Nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, low dust, 1 6-pound bag, works up to a month, and it's got the color changing technology. Not just for cereals and novelty mugs when you're on vacation. Now your kitty litter will change color due to environmental circumstances. In this case, the pH level of your cat's piss, which can tell you things about potential illness in your cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more. And if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to my door. I never run out because I can open my door and there's a big old bag of kitty litter right there. I don't have to lug it from my very far garage over to my place. I'll have to bring out my old grocery cart to move the Pretty Litter.
And you love that grocery cart, so this is extra convenient.
Extra convenient. Just a great low tracking and an interesting kitty litter, because most kitty litters, you don't get information by looking at it.
Yeah, that's
what Pretty
true.
Litter offers. Pretty Litter offers a visual experience to all who experience it. Pretty Litter is amazing.
Although, to be fair, if you do see the crystals change color, like, you know, get sorry, taking that cat to a vet.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah, on. The pretty litter does not come with the vet. That will fix your cat.
No, that's your job. That's your job as the cat owner. Pretty litter, though. Amazing. You got to try it. Go to prettylitter.com/daddies to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/daddies to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/daddies. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The beholder comes back and goes blah, and spits out a bunch of pants onto the ground. And goes,
put your pants on and come out. It's starting. It's happening now. Go. Let's go.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch you do it. Go.
I put pants on.
As everyone's going out, Henry says, oh shit, I forgot my jock strap. One second, guys. And I turn back in the room.
Okay.
A look of steely resolve falls on Henry's face as he looks at the bathroom stall.
Oh no.
And he plugs his nose and he steals his nerves and he enters. Because someone must face this darkness. This is vital insight into our mortal enemy.
No, that's a good point.
Henry is going to look at the weird Charleston Chew demon that Daryl pooped out.
Okay, so give me a wisdom saving throw with disadvantage.
Okay. Should have used my inspiration here. Too bad for that.
Hey, Anthony, will the bestial janitors have to roll wisdom?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, no,
no.
You've ruined the entire janitorial system of this stadium.
I think it's tough to blame me for what happened.
I got an 11.
Ooh, okay. So an 11's not going to do it.
Oh, no.
So I'm trying to think what's a good punishment. Henry, what you see in there defies description. It beggars belief. And yet, in some way, it is ever so slightly... And this is the worst part, ever so slightly familiar to you.
Oh, what?
Yeah, we've all had food poisoning before, guys.
There's something you recognize.
Is it corn?
The horror.
Oh, no.
In the horror that you've faced, in a horror that seems to completely fail to make any sense and shape that your brain could comprehend, that will stick with you probably for as long as you live. So from now on, anytime... you want to make a nature check or a wisdom check or anything that involves looking beyond the veil of the material world, you're going to do so at disadvantage because you know that in the veil beyond this world, there lie horrors much like the thing that you've just
read.
Forever.
Oh my God.
Wait, that's what he saw? That's what he saw in my business?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no.
Henry, I guess, just backs away and closes the door and says, somebody light a match. No, I don't say that. I
do not go in there. Woo!
Outside, there's like two Kanku who are like about to like janitorial staff going. Like, hey, excuse me.
To the Kanku, I tear off two strips of cloth and I say, shield your eyes. And then I walk away.
Great. You come out onto the field and the beholder goes up to his usual spot above the field.
How's attendance today?
Attendance today is very bad because of the bird debacle. Yeah, there's a paper banner that somebody's holding that's basically blank that like two little goblins are holding if you want to run through that.
I want to roll to run through the banner.
Okay. Roll dexterity to see if you'd be the first one through. Because Peyton's also booking it.
Oh, yeah, good point. 10 total.
I got a 19.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, Ron definitely goes through the banner.
High
first.
Speed, low drag.
Yeah.
So the beholder says,
and so challenging is the doodlers. Everybody, you can...
Woo!
You can clap for them or whatever. And no turning into a bird this time. That's boring. I don't want that anymore. I don't
Wait,
want
you said there's no
anymore.
Rules.
Yeah, but I'm making a rule that says I don't want... You can do it, but you won't like what happens after that because I don't
okay,
like
Okay, so
it.
Just to clarify, though, no turning into a bird.
No turning into a flying thing that then takes the thing into the end zone.
By flying... What do you say?
Shut up,
Daryl.
Shut up. Shut up. Stop asking him to clarify. The more you ask him to clarify, the harder it's going to be to work our way around it.
Okay. We won't do anything that's flying.
Stop. I'm begging you to stop.
Why are you saying flying without, like, why are you, like, winking and sort of nodding at everybody else when you say flying? I don't
that's
like
my
that.
My favorite part about football games is when the players on the field take a second to talk to John Madden. Like, they have a full conversation right before the fucking kickoff.
And also, the people you actually enjoy watching, the hotties!
And then you see Yeet Bigley and Killa Demol run out, and they are followed by the rest of their team, which you had not seen previously. which are a dog that's completely on fire, a very large purple spider, a giant shark with a helmet that is filled with water, and then a flaming skull that's just kind of floating about 3 feet off the ground.
He's flying. He's flying. He's flying.
He's floating. He's floating 3 feet off the ground. Hey, flame skull, go as high as you can go. Flame skull.
And he goes, at once, sir. And he goes, and he can only get about 4 feet high. He goes, this is as high as I go. I don't know why you were making me do this in front of all these people. It's embarrassing.
Flame skull.
So,
hey, Henry, looks like floating's okay, though.
Huh?
Just throwing out there, floating's okay.
Sure, whatever you say, man. Sorry. Henry's like got a 1,000-yard stare still from his curious case of the poop in the bathroom.
Oh, no. Daryl, why don't you roll perception?
Okay. That is a natural 20.
Wow. Okay. So you can tell as Yeet comes out, Grant looks at Yeet and their eyes actually meet for a second. And then Grant gets super red and embarrassed. And Yeet kind of just grimaces and looks away really quickly.
I walk over to Ron. And I whisper and I go, Ron, you saw what happened last night, right?
Yeah, I did. I was actually at the vending machine and I got you a little something, buddy. Something I think you might like. And Ron pulls from somewhere on his person a big king size thing of Charleston shoes.
Oh, God, no.
Roll constitution with disadvantage, Daryl.
You didn't think I'd remember, did you, buddy?
Ron, put that away.
I'm a growing person. Ron. I'm learning and I'm appreciating my friends more. And I'm taking things in and remembering what you like.
He's like waving in front of me as he's...
Henry rushes. I was like, Ron, that's so awesome that you remembered that.
I did. I remembered. There's so many things that I didn't remember, but I remembered that Daryl likes Charleston shoes. And last night I was at a vending machine and I was listening to a conversation that I shouldn't have been listening to. And now here we are.
Hey, what happened with that? And as I'm doing, I'm slowly taking the Charleston shoes and like hiding them from Daryl. Like I'm just kind of positioning Ron like so that Daryl doesn't have to look at them. Like, what happened with that? Grant was super weird when you came up.
I got a 15, by the way, really quick.
A 15? Okay, so you managed to keep it down.
You don't need to tell me everything. I just need to know, did Yeet hurt Grant?
No.
If so, I'm gonna unleash. I mean, I know he's a kid, but like this is football. I'm just saying.
I'm gonna tackle this child.
Did something happen? I just want, you know, tell me the details.
Concuss this baby.
No, nothing.
I just caught a vibe between them and it sure looked like it might, you know, I'm just, maybe I misread one.
No, 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 no fight. No fight between them.
Okay.
Yeet didn't hurt Grant. Yeet was there for Grant. He was,
Oh man, I'm going to feel bad about tackling the kid. Now it
backfired. No, don't feel bad about tackling him.
Because then we should just let him win.
What happened? How was he there for Grant? Like, was Grant upset about something?
I don't know. Maybe not upset, but maybe not upset either. Or maybe not. This is a weird place to talk about this. Because
Ron, let's. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have brought it up. I was just getting a little pumped up. And if I'm hearing you correct, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. It feels like I should probably ask Grant, though. I'm beginning to think that maybe if my fellow dad told me and then I went to Grant saying I heard it because when the dad spied on him, maybe he'd be upset. Okay, so I'm going to walk over to Grant. I'm going to tap him on the shoulder and ask him. I'm going to say... So, I mean, I noticed something happened between you and Yeet there.
He just begins to wave you away. It's like, let's fucking play ball. Let's go. Let's do this. Come on. Come on. And he looks up at the beholder. He's like, let's do this. Come on. Ready for some football. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it. Come on. Fuck it.
I look him in the eye and I go, Grant, I know something's bothering you. I know you don't want to hear right now. I don't want to embarrass you in front of everybody. But after this game,
Christ.
I want to talk. Okay.
Cool. Great. Yeah. Let's fucking play some balls.
Okay. Thank you. Guys, let's do this.
Okay.
Sorry.
Ron laughs. That's the thing that happens. Okay. So I'm going to toss a coin to see who goes first.
We have to call it, don't we?
Oh, wait. Actually, call it in the hat. Yeah. I forgot how football works. Call it in the air. Heads or tails?
Perception check is in the air.
That's dope.
Okay. Give me a perception check.
I perception check in the air as it's flipping in slow motion. Glenn's eyes, his hot eyes narrow as he flicks back his hair. And he looks over and he sees
each eye like a different Hemsworth brother.
A 15. Oh my goodness. 15 perception check.
Okay. With a 15, you can tell that it is going to land heads.
I go, heads.
In the sexiest voice you can muster. Okay, so Lance Head, so do you want to receive or do you want
to
kick off?
I turn to the other guys. Sorry, I just sold weed to the quarterbacks. What are we doing, guys? Daryl, what are we supposed to do? I did my part. Special teams. Woo!
Oh, we should definitely receive. Get the momentum.
That's right, receive, yeah. Receive, please.
Peyton, you take the left. Grant, you take the right. All of us adults make a flying V for whoever
we
got, catches
and then
it.
We cast a bunch of stuff on one of the kids, right?
Yeah, who wants stone skin? Just stone skin for you. And I give Peyton a friendly pat on the shoulder,
And
Grant says, not me. Don't need it.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and give you Pass Without Trace, though, Grant, because it seems like you want to be left alone right now. So I cast Pass Without Trace on Grant.
So the hotties are going to kick off, and the ball lands around the 30-yard line. So I'm going to roll to see who gets it, Grant or Peyton. Ooh, okay, so it's a natural 20, so you guys get to decide who you want to have it.
I mean, let's give it to Grant because it sounds more interesting, I guess. We don't ever play strategically.
Grant gets the ball, and he starts running. So who's going to be directly in front of him in this flying V?
I'm the top of the V.
You are the top.
Nice.
As a line of the other players comes at you, Killa Damal, she runs at you, and it looks like this relatively small girl is about to tackle you. And then as she gets right up next to you, her body goes incorporeal. And once she's behind you, Grant can see she resumes her corporeal form and dives to tackle him.
Can I try to respond to, like, when she disappears?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want to do as a reaction with disadvantage.
I mean, I feel like as she disappears, I probably try to turn around and tackle her. It's like I was going to throw an axe. It's like I'm not going to kill this.
You throw an axe?
No, I'm going to tackle her.
So the way that tackling works in this probably doesn't work system that I've made is that you can do damage to somebody or you can try to like bring them down essentially. So you want to just bring her down?
I'm just trying to bring her down.
Give me a strength check. So roll a d20, add your strength modifier.
8 plus 6, but I'm going to, as we are running, I evoke rage as a bonus action. So I'm going to evoke rage.
Because she did that really suddenly, you weren't ready for it. You have disadvantage, it cancels out the advantage. So you just, you have 16 as your thing or whatever, 14. 14. So she rolled a 17, unfortunately.
Oh.
So as you turn around to tackle her, you just kind of fall. And she leaps at Grant and she's going to try to tackle him. Oof, that's bad. Okay. Uh-oh. So she leaps through the air and puts her arm out and does a flying clothesline to Grant.
Frick.
And
oh my gosh.
Oh no.
Hits him square in the helmet, so it's not that bad, but it sends him flying. He like gets turned inside out practically. Sorry, that's a wrestling term. He doesn't literally get turned inside out.
It's like the beginning of Scream.
Be careful in this world.
Yeah, yeah. He does a full like backflip just because of how hard she hits him in the face, and he falls down on the ground. That's the play. So the ball is down there on the 30. Oh, he's got to roll for distance. I'm sorry.
Yeah, how many yards do we go, Anthony? What down are we at?
Yeah. No, so you're going to be at first down. So he is going to roll a D10 to see how many yards he's gone. Okay, 3. So you are at the 33-yard line. You have to get to 100, obviously, to get a touchdown.
All right. Good run, Grant. Anything over 20 is good. I pick him up. You okay?
He ignores you saying that, and he looks kind of irritated. Now it is your turn to run a play. What would you like to do? You can pass or you can run. Depending on what you want to do, I'll tell you how you do that mechanically.
All right. If we're in a huddle, you guys look around the huddle and then you see a rhinoceros horn poke into the huddle. And Henry has turned into a rhino. And he says, nice. Guys, I think we should run the ball.
Donkey Kong country. Let's do this. Grant, you remember Donkey Kong country?
Yeah, 100% of it.
Yeah.
That's the underwater music though, am I right?
Very relaxing. Yeah, it was relaxing as fuck. Loved it.
If we're running the ball, how about like when we say hike, you guys run and then I'll run up to the supper bowl and then look at it and just see like if I can figure out anything about it. I'm like, because maybe then we won't even have to play the rest of the game. I'm getting kind of bored.
It is in the mouth of the beholder. The beholder is currently about 60 feet up from the
Okay, well, are there any t-shirt guns?
There's a single, what you think is a mascot, but then the closer you look, it turns out that's just what that guy looks like. It's this big, furry, weird dude that's walking around with a what looks to be sort of a like a hand crank catapult, and he's putting tunics into it and then pointing at people. And there's only like 5 people in the stands, but he's sort of shooting them repeatedly.
Everyone
the same
has
5
20
people.
T-shirts.
Yeah, and they're like, enough, and they're trying to slap him out of the air.
I love the energy, Ron. Do you think you could get up there to the beholder? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. Like, if we're just going to do another sort of bird sort of game, I think that I can contribute in another way, maybe just sort of not playing.
You could, you know, help run along the side of the rhino or whatever to make sure we don't lose the ball. You could also do that.
Side huddle, Daryl, you did last time, like the play was to let Ron do whatever Ron wanted to do, and that worked out pretty well for us. This could be one of those Ron things that Ron does it, and maybe it distracts the beholder like long enough for us to get in like a cheap hit or something like that on the other team.
Damn. Let's just not provoke this thing, that's all.
I won't.
Damn, man, are you trying, you want to do some cheap hits on those kits over there? I can see by the ref? Jeez. Damn, dude, you're rough. I did not think this... dude, you should play more sports, man. I didn't realize you're all into this shit. Well, nah, I mean, I don't think we should, though. I don't think we should. I don't think we should take those cheap hits. But I like what you're thinking. I mean, yeah, I mean, if you want to say that, like, Ron can do whatever he wants, I guess you could say that. I was just saying, like, you have a pretty good play. You're a big rhino. Like, hi, Rhino. Like, I'm looking at, he's a rhino, right?
Yeah, he's a rhino.
Hey, Rhino and Daryl, I got some stuff I can cast.
My name's
on
still
the...
Henry. You can call me Henry still.
Oh, okay.
Henry, I just think you should commit. Like, you came here being like, yo, I'm a rhino. I think you should commit to the play that you just said.
You know,
like,
what? You wanna... I'm a rhino, and I want to run the ball. And, you know, the... So, that's... All right. Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm also going to commit to the play. Good luck, guys.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Ron.
This question matters. Do you want the football to be... just with the rhino, or do you want Grant to be holding the football astride the rhino?
No, wait a second. Put the
rhino's mouth.
No, yeah. Put it in my mouth, and I'll just close my mouth.
All right, cool.
My mouth's big enough for the ball.
Yeah.
Great.
Anthony, I'm going to try to sneak away from the team.
Okay. Give me a stealth roll.
Okay. I got 12 plus 8. That's 20.
20. Wow. Okay. So yeah, are you doing the same, the Ron Gambit where you're pretending to be the like yard marker?
How about I just sneak into the, into the t-shirt catapult?
Okay, give me a So that first stealth roll definitely got you close to the guy. So in order to sneak inside, I feel like that's a disadvantaged stealth roll.
Okay.
Unless you've got some inspiration you can burn or something.
I would like to burn my inspiration.
Okay, then just give me a straight stealth roll.
I got a 16 plus 8, which is...
I forget you have a plus 8 every time.
Yeah. Let's see. So that's 24.
I'm going to roll perception for him, but I suspect you're going to crawl into a fucking t-shirt cannon. He rolled a 5. So what's it like inside the t-shirt cannon?
It's such a thrill. Just the anticipation.
Okay, so he aims and he's just going to hit one of the 5 people in the audience.
But pretty high up, right?
I mean, you will be once he launches it, but like, he's not aiming at the beholder. He's just going to aim into the stands.
If Ron dies doing this, could you fucking imagine the insanity?
I would be pretty mad at myself, guys. I have to admit it. But, you know, you just got to try sometimes for the love of the game, for the love of sport, you know? Are the t-shirts cool, though? Like, are they?
No, they're cheap and they look bad. What is your plan?
Try to trick him into thinking that the beholder wants a t-shirt and then he'll shoot at the beholder. And then you can get closer as opposed to him just hurling you away from the field into the stands.
Oh, I could use my actor ability to do an impression of the beholder.
Sure, why not?
Because I have an acting thing.
So give me a performance check to see if you can sufficiently both throw your voice and impersonate the beholder that is 60 feet up.
Make sure you add some reverb there, Ron.
I got a 9. I want a t-shirt.
As you say that, the mascot that's not a mascot looks down into its catapult and goes, Oh, hey, get out of there. Get out of there, kid. And he starts slapping at you with his hand.
Make me.
He goes, if that's how you want to do it. All right. And he grabs onto you with both hands. So you're grappled now.
You know what? I'm along for the ride.
Okay. So he hoists you up over his head.
And spins you. Yeah.
Turns around away from the field and tries to basically toss you into like the hallway that people come out. So he just throws you real far. You hit the Mountain Dew machine and you take 16 damage.
Okay.
Oh,
a bunch of Mountain Dew comes out.
That's a chunk.
You can't win them all, fellas.
Okay.
Now that was no longer sneaky. That's a ruckus. Did that distract the hotties as we were hiking? I feel like while that was going on, we were getting ready to hike.
Let me do a roll for their wisdom.
Dude,
to see if they
a bunch of free Mountain Dew on the field and you're telling me these teens aren't going crazy for it? Yeah, right, Anthony.
They're playing sports. They're not playing video games. It's not gamer
Mountain
fuel.
Mountain Dew is for snowboarders.
I'm going to suspend my disbelief so much, okay? A bunch of teenagers in any universe not going wild for free Mountain Dew.
Literally the teens that are listening to this podcast are screaming at their radios right now.
At their radios? No!
They're hollering at their gramophones.
We love Mountain Dew. What's
Anthony
talking
about? They're
shaking
their iPod touches right now, being like, what's going on, Anthony? You got to give us these Mountain Dews.
Mom, bring me my Zoom.
I got TikTok about the Dew.
So they rolled pretty well in their wisdom. So what happens is you see...
Gen Z's so wise. They're really the future.
You see Yeet pluck up his eye patch
And under his eye patch, you see a cybernetic eye.
What?
And it goes,
these are so cool.
What? And turns and looks independent of his other eye. And you hear like, and he goes, don't worry about it, guys. It's just Mountain Dew. We can afford that when we win. And he flaps the eye patch back down.
He knows how to keep his eyes on the prize.
So he has a robot eye. That just got revealed?
Yes.
Wow, that must be what Grant found out that upset him so much, that the boy who loves his half machine.
He's like Will Smith and iRobot.
All right. So like we hike the ball and put it in the mouth of the rhino. What happens?
Yes. So you put it in the mouth of the rhino.
And then as that happens, I'm going to cast Thunder Wave.
Okay, what does that do?
Which is in this context, it's I'm trying to start a wave.
With all five people?
There's five people. All five people. But somehow the effect of this here in the D&D universe is that a wave of thunderous force sweeps out from me. I had this skill the whole time. It was in me this entire time. Each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from you, but since everyone's on the line of scrimmage, that's like everyone.
They're definitely going to be next to each other, yeah.
Yep. Must make a constitution saving throw. Fail save, they take 2d8 thunder damage, and they're pushed 10 feet away.
Ooh.
A successful save, they take half damage, but then they aren't pushed.
Okay.
And then also any unsecured objects, Mountain Dews, cans of Mountain Dew, within the area effect, are also automatically...
Signs advertising Mountain Dew.
Yeah, those are all pushed away and they flutter in the wind so the advertisers can see them. From in front of you or in a circle around you? It's a cube away from me. Oh, nice. Like. So it just hits everybody but us. Yeah, and also that boom is loud and it goes out to 300 feet.
Jeez.
And then 301 feet, I guess you don't hear it. How the fuck does that work? D&D's too bad.
So I'm going to roll constitution saving throws for all six of them.
Yeah.
The Hellhound, Yeet, and Killa all get pushed 10 yards back. The giant shark, the phase spider, and the flame skull do not. So what's going to happen is when you do your run, Will, give me a D10 roll. That'll be how many yards you run.
Okay.
For the first leg of your run.
You get an automatic bonus at first 10 is what you're saying.
Yeah.
I got a one.
I'm going to check the running speed of a rhino.
You got a one. Okay. So you got 1 yard before somebody attacked you. It doesn't mean somebody's tackled you yet. It means somebody's going to attack you after 1 yard.
Okay.
So I'm going to say that it's going to be the flame skull, and he is going to...
A rhino runs 34 miles per hour, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, but doesn't get from 0 to 34. And
he's got to accelerate. He's like a fucking Mario Kart character. Bowser doesn't come out the gate at full speed.
That's very fast.
Yeah.
So his armor class is 11. The skull is going to open its mouth and go, ha-ha! And hit you with a fire ray twice. And that is going to do 6d6 damage to you.
Oh my God.
Both times. So he does 27 damage to you with the fire ray, which he didn't do it to knock you down. He just did it to hurt you.
So now, do I have a rhino's hit points or my hit points now?
You have a rhino's hit points.
Okay, because that's less hit points than me because it has 45 hit points.
It's 45.
All right, so I'm down to 25 hit points now. Okay.
So now the shark is going to try to tackle you. So he's going to make a strength check.
This is like every 12-year-old's dream football game. The shark tackles the rhino with the football in its mouth.
Okay, so he got a 10. Roll constitution.
It's not an opposed strength check?
No, it's like, is your body like hardy enough to repel his strength?
Okay, I got a 16.
I don't know if you know, but Will's been DMing, so he's coming back with the facts.
The two DMs.
Yeah, this is a problem. I'm noticing a problem here.
This isn't how I would DM.
I just don't want to make it so that only the strong characters had an advantage.
Yeah, for sure.
You successfully managed to bounce the Hellhound away. The giant shark's going to start moving downfield to tackle you later on. So the phase spider is going to come at you, but he's going to get intercepted by Grant. So Grant's going to run up and he's going to tackle him. Right before he tackles him, you definitely see this, Will. Mm-hmm. Matt, you're going to have to roll a perception check to see if you notice this.
Okay. 14 plus one, 15.
Okay, so with the 15, you notice it too. As he runs up, he undoes his shoulder pads and lets them fall off of his body. And he runs and he tackles this huge ass spider.
Oh, this poor baby boy.
And slams him into the ground and keeps him down there. So you get to roll another D10 for continuing your run.
Okay.
Glenn's like, hey, you know, you can give him some pads with stone skin. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, I should have given him stone skin. Son of a bitch. Okay.
Sounds like that spider needs stone
skin. That's why he said he didn't want it.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, Henry rolled a 4. So I guess I go another 4 yards as I watch that happen.
When I said that the field is 100 yards, I meant 50. Okay.
Because this is a 2-hour podcast.
Yes. Okay, so you're on the 37-yard line right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeet, Killa,
and giant shark are about to tackle you. So you can either run out of bounds and end the down, or you can keep going.
Wait a second. I have an idea for a 200 IQ play here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shit. Okay. I turn into... Guys, what's an animal that burrows?
Like a gopher.
I literally had the same
thought. A meerkat.
I can't find one.
It's
got
to be an animal that burrows and is big enough to hold a football.
Well, I'm straight up sitting here. I wasn't even listening to Grant, like, putting his rage out on a spider. Because I was sitting here going through Dungeons & Dragons trying to figure out if you can turn into a mole or some shit. Because if we score a touchdown, all I want to do is run down the clock and put football underground.
I did a report on the wombats in fifth grade. The wombats...
No, but they don't go underground.
Yes, they fucking do. They are the largest burrowing marsupial animal and the second largest marsupial in the world.
Oh,
Matt.
Oh my goodness. That's
wonderful. I
did a
report in fifth grade. I got an A on it on wombats. They're my favorite Australian animal. It goes wombats, then quokkas, and they burrow and they're cute, and farmers are unfairly targeting wombats, and they got little claws that can dig through the ground really well.
This podcast is brought to you by ZooBooks.
Wombats are huge.
Are they big enough to hold a football? Okay, hold on. Here's my question to Anthony.
I'm Googling wombat in relation to football. They're about a meter in length, so absolutely.
Okay. Before we go wombat, if I turn into a smaller animal while the football is in my mouth, does the football shrink when I shrink?
No.
And I would submit to you, they're like, what happens to my clothes when I turn into an animal?
Oh, they get shredded, dude.
They just explode?
Yeah. You were naked after the bird.
It's not like a Hulk pants situation, like where the Hulk's purple pants go stretchy with him and they shrink back down. Okay, never mind. I turn into a wombat and I try to burrow with a ball.
And they have a pouch. Oh. They have a pouch that you can put these in.
I stuff the ball into my pouch and I burrow.
Hold on. Okay, so you're a rhino and you transform into a wombat.
Yes.
So the ball is in your mouth when you transform, which means the ball's in your mouth when you're a wombat.
Oh, no.
Which means that it probably, like, no, I'm not going to say it like snaps your neck or anything. It's fine. I was thinking about it. No. Which means the ball probably, like, gets squeezed out of your mouth and you kind of fumble it.
Okay.
But you're the one who knows that this is coming. So I'm going to give you a dexterity roll to grab the ball up before somebody else jumps on it.
All right. I'm Googling Wombat D&D 5e to see if there are stats.
So your dexterity bonus is a plus one. I'm looking at one right now.
Okay.
Also, you have 10 hit points. Congratulations.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. Are you serious?
Yes.
All right. Well, I rolled
a
12
so
on
cute.
My dex. Do I get advantage because I know this is coming?
Yeah, I feel like it. That makes sense.
You get advantage because you're cute.
Because he's a baby.
He's a baby.
All right, I rolled a 13.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Yeet be nearby, and he's going to make an opposed dexterity check. Okay, so Yeet was coming at you on his skateboard, the sounds of Superman by Goldfinger echoing through the AirPods he always has in his ears, and he rolled a 12.
Oh!
So you managed to snatch it up just as he does a fucking kickflip to try grab it with his hand. Like, oh, he's upside down and he tries to grab it, but your little wombat claws grab it and put it inside of your pouch.
You play Tony Hawk. I play Mortal Wombat.
All right.
Right?
So I feel like...
That's inspiration.
Yeah, that's definitely inspiration.
Yes,
very kind.
Okay, so now I guess you want to roll something to burrow?
Sure.
How close is he to the end zone?
So you guys are about 13 yards away from the end zone.
Wait. I think I have a spell for this. Give me 1 second.
In the desert heat of Australia, right, the burrowing allows him to be sort of nocturnal and hide from predators. Burrows can be up to 30 meters long and several meters deep.
Whoa.
So once this tunnel is connected, we're good.
We'll pull it off like the James Bond. World's not enough. He pulled like the world's not enough with a boat. Like, goes underwater.
Oh, yeah, like, did. Henry adjusts his little wombat tie while he's under
the... Oh, my gosh. I think that Henry should stay a wombat forever. And, like, this way we get cool, like, real wombat facts from Freddy, and I love that. And then we get, like, to think about Henry as a wombat, and, you know, you don't have to think about the gross parts.
We can put a leash on him, and Peyton can walk him like a little dog.
Oh, my gosh, like a harness.
So,
yeah. Oh, and he has a little pouch. You put, like, a little flower in his pouch. Are wombats soft?
I mean, they got like claws and they are, you know, a little more, they're not as like cuddly as, I mean, a lot of the animals in Australia are not as cuddly as you think. But
as Henry dives towards the ground in wombat form, he casts Mold Earth. If you target an area of loose earth, you can instantly excavate it, move it along the ground, and deposit it up to 5 feet away. This movement doesn't have enough force to cause damage. You can cause shapes, colors, or both to appear in the dirt. Okay, blah, 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 blah. The point is, I'm using this.
Shapes, colors, and what to appear in dirt?
This is just other stuff you can do with this spell. Like, I can cause shapes and colors to appear on the dirt or the stone, spelling out words, creating images.
Yes, the dirt flies in the air, and as you burrow down, the hottie's looking and says, losers.
It says, thanks. With a smiley face. I'm going to cast this and then use it to excavate the earth in front of me. And then I'm going to be basically, it's a cantrip, so I can cast it as much as I want.
There we go. I was just looking for the way to win automatically.
It's basically like a Bugs Bunny move. I turn into a wombat, dive into the ground, and then you see like this little bump like pop up in the ground and then just zoom to the end zone.
Well, and you also said that the spell like allows you to like displace earth and then put it somewhere else. So in my mind, like Wombat Henry runs up and like tears a chunk out of the ground, dives in, and then replaces the chunk behind it like he's slamming the door shut behind him or something.
Every time we get the ball, we're just going to give it to Henry. He's going to turn into a wombat and he's going to go underground.
Okay.
He's going to pop back up at the end zone.
When Henry pops up in the end zone, he's got a carrot in his mouth and a big map, and he says, I knew I should have taken that left turn at Albuquerque.
Okay, so I'm going to go to individually look at every single member of this team and see if there's anything they can do to stop this.
Okay.
And also I want to point out that by doing this, he's probably tilling up a lot of earth and like pebbles. And as you know, on a skateboard, a single pebble will wreck your ass.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So the flame skull cannot do anything. The giant shark cannot do anything. The spider cannot do anything. The hellhound cannot do anything. Yeet especially cannot do anything. But Killa Damal sees that you're going underground.
That wascally wombat.
And so she jumps into the air and like swan dives down. And as it looks like she's about to faceplant into the ground, she goes incorporeal.
Oh, shit.
And she's going to make a disadvantage attack on you.
She's like one of those foxes jumping in the snow.
Oh, my gosh. Those snow foxes. Oh, yeah. This is so cute. That
it's
like
a
these,
cute episode.
Yeah.
Except for Grant punching that spider a bunch. We're going to check back in on that in a second.
We should have like a separate time every episode to do wombat combat.
Killa dove after you and she went, nice moves, but mine are better. And she like dives in and barely misses you as you skitter away from her. And then she recorporealizes and is buried alive currently. And she's like, ah, shit. And she begins to choke.
Oh, my God.
Daryl runs and starts digging the ground where she is.
You successfully manage to dig her up. And she goes, stupid. I'm no damsel in distress. Ha-cha! And she casts Horrifying Visage.
Wait, just to clarify, though, I feel like during that time that I was digging her out, he definitely got into the end zone.
Yeah, he definitely got into the end zone and got a touchdown. Congratulations. You got a touchdown. So the beholder's watching all this. He goes,
no, you're kidding me. Not again with this. No, come on. Come on.
You pull up Killa Damal, and she goes, you guys are going to break our win streak. I mean this purely professionally. I think you guys are tight, but fuck you. And as she says, fuck you, her face morphs into that of like a corpse. It looks like horrifying. It's like some Beetlejuice ass stop motion ass shit.
Large Marge
shit. And so all of you have to make a DC 13 wisdom saving throw.
Okay. All of us? Am I looking at this?
I'm not looking at this.
It's every non-undead creature within 60 feet that can see her. So I guess if you're still underground, well, you probably have to surface in order to make the touchdown, right?
I'm going
to
use this moment to reaction with Mental Barrier.
Okay.
Which is my reaction spell, which protects my mind with a wall of looping repetitive thought, which is like, oh no, Henry's winning, but Henry can't win. I'm going to lose money. Henry's winning though, but we need to win, but I'm going to lose money. That's the looping thought that keeps going in my head, which distracts me, which is going to give me advantage on intelligence, wisdom, and charisma saving throws and resistance to psychic.
Fantastic.
Henry needs touchdowns. Dental plan.
I got a 1+1.
17 minus 1 is 16, so I'm good.
Didn't you tell me I have a disadvantage on wisdom shit now, Anthony, because of my horrifying...
Oh, yeah, because of your sanity. Oh, yeah, this is horrible. It's giving you flashbacks to the shit.
Okay.
So, yeah, you definitely
just
have disadvantage.
Like back when I was in the shit.
Terrell just has never been so... He's never helped somebody and had them dismiss his help so hard as literally pulling a person who's buried alive out with his bare hands only for them to turn around and be like, I'm not damsel distressed, and then turn into a zombie. He is astonished.
You know what it is all of the dads have teenage boys, but none of them are prepared for mean teenage girl.
Yeah, honestly.
Henry fucked up his role too. When Killa Damal screams, Henry turns around like that dramatic hamster.
Very good.
So everybody that failed your role, you are frightened for 1 minute. So frightened.
Time out, time baby. Out.
Time out.
Son of a bitch!
Glenn calls time out so that my teammates can recover. And Glenn's like, it's all good. Time is no object here in this game of football, bitch. Frightened? Don't worry. Just chug some Capri Suns and we'll be right good to go in 1 minute.
Daryl pulls up a Mountain Dew and then grabs another one and walks over to Grant. Hey, buddy, man, that... You okay? That you were working out some aggression there.
Sorry, just for a second. I was like, it's okay. I'll just wait until the next play, then have her do it again. It specifically says if somebody saves or if the effect ends, they're immune to it for the next 24 hours.
Yeah, she doesn't scare us anymore.
It's just not looking great for the female NPCs. I was going to have her basically be like a one-woman team, like fucking like teleporting between you like Nightcrawler and fucking your shit up. And no, you just saved her from...
Wombat.
God, a wombat beater.
A wombat and the rules of football.
Fuck. Okay, so what bullshit are you saying to your son?
I mean, I just we only got a minute, it's time out, but I'm just checking in on him saying you working out some aggression.
No, Daryl, you're still frightened for this minute, to be clear.
Oh, okay, never mind. I just shakily bring him a Mountain Dew and go, hey, drink this, Grant. Oh, God. And I walk away. I go look for Henry. Like, where's Henry? Is he okay? Is he a wombat?
Did I get thrown over to where we came out, like from the locker rooms?
Yeah. You could just walk back onto this field if you want.
I'm actually going to walk back into the locker rooms.
Don't look at my poo.
I'm going to look at the poo.
No!
Don't!
Ron!
If Henry thought that there was some sort of mystical thing to be gained from this, I feel like I'm taking one for the team, so to speak, by picking up where he left off.
Talk to me about the bathroom.
Is this a good episode?
I don't think so.
I don't know anymore.
No, I think you guys are doing well. I'm not doing great this episode, but that's okay. We can't win them all. Okay. So I think I walk down the hallway where people normally come out ready to rock and roll, ready to run. And I open the locker room where a telltale smell indicates that even if it has been cleaned up, there is something that cannot be cleaned. Away.
I bet you it's not cleaned up. I feel like that it's
been
really...
Yeah, what happened to the Kankus?
They're dead.
They went in and they immediately quit. They went, it's not a living, and they left.
I like Ron is like stepping into her, like his own Silent Hill mini adventure right now.
Silent but deadly hill.
They're just dead on the floor.
Nice.
I'm like, oh my God.
Are you ready for one of the more specific pulls? It's like the scene in the Casper movie where fucking Ray from Ghostbusters comes out and goes, who you to call? Someone else, and runs away.
And Bill Pullman looks so satisfied with that joke and he's just crushed. You gonna come? Someone else.
Okay, so you want to see this thing.
Listen, I just gotta take one for the team here.
Okay, give me a disadvantage wisdom roll.
Okay.
Wisdom saving throw.
On my bingo card for this, it was not that Daryl's feces was going to cause psychic damage to half of the dads, so it's not.
Disadvantage, I got 13 plus 1. 14?
14. One shy.
Oh! You
hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. You absolutely hate to see it. The thing that you were looking at, all of the stuff that I said to Will applies to you now. It is horrible. Your mind has trouble comprehending it. But to you, there's not quite that familiarity. Forever now, you're going to have disadvantage on Arcana, Wisdom, anything that's wisdom-related checks, you're going to have disadvantage
Damn,
on.
Damn, Ron, the wisest of the characters.
Yeah, no, I feel like to get where I am right now, yeah, I could not have had advantage on any wisdom.
You know what? I realize Glenn's probably the best person to do this because mental barrier really protects me in this.
Well,
yeah,
I feel like you've also, why doesn't everybody just go look at the big old turf?
I feel like you've also probably like held a few friends' heads, you know, as they're vomiting.
Exactly.
And
I've seen some shit on the road.
Life.
Question for you, Anthony. What does Ron's sentient mustache do upon seeing the poop?
Good question. Your mustache begins to scream.
Oh my God.
Like jump back a little bit in time as you're getting closer and closer to the stall. You're opening the door. It's the shoe from Roger Rabbit. It's like, like it's trying to get you to turn around. It's like,
turn around, go. We gotta go back. We can't do this. We can't do this. No.
No, Mr.
I don't,
Mustache.
I don't feel good.
Mr.
I don't like
Mustache,
it.
You're okay. You're with me. And we're just gonna take a quick look and see if I can garner any wisdom from this. It's okay, Mr. Mustache. I've got you.
I take it back. It's my favorite episode. Please animate this, somebody.
So when you see it, the mustache screams. Like, you feel this thing on your face just screaming.
It bristles.
And it, like, it nice. Bristles. Aww. Yeah, it poofs up like a cat's tail when it gets scared. So when you leave, your mustache is all poofy and stuff.
Hush, Mr. Mustache, don't you cry. We're just gonna look at a big mud pie. And if that mud pie is real cursed, the whole sadness thing will be reversed. Is he still screaming?
He's still screaming. And after, you know, a minute or whatever, his screaming stops. And then you hear him say,
I will never trust you again. How dare you? I didn't want to do that. And you did it anyway. You didn't care about what I wanted. It's rude.
I mean, she's a little hypocritical for a mustache that literally parasitically leaped onto her on his face.
I'm here to help you.
Listen, Mr. Mustache, maybe we should talk about this later because there's a lot of stuff going on right now. But
what are you, Daryl?
Yeah.
I was about to say, that's what Daryl's. Yeah, there you go. Reason.
Job, Ron. I don't want anyone to come between us, Mr. Mustache.
You could feel the mustache like straining not to say that's what she said. So, do you have anything else you want to do in there?
She got a magazine.
Yeah. I'll
So, back on the field, the beholder's like,
oh my God. Oh my God. You know what? Let's just do halftime. I need to rethink this whole way people do magic and all things. This is bullshit. This is the worst. Halftime. I'll be back. Oh my God.
And it just like shakes its head, but its whole body is its head, so it just shakes its whole body.
How long's halftime, dude?
Halftime is until like I work up the mental fortitude to continue with this.
Okay, just give us a little bit, not to criticize, but like literally we woke up and you came running in and said 5 minutes.
I'll give you a
minutes.
Heads up. Go do whatever you're going
to
do.
I'm just saying, thank you. Just want to make sure we have more than 5 minutes.
Add a little up, guys. I waddle over to the huddle. When I look at Ron, I'm like, you looked, didn't you? You saw what I saw.
What did you guys look at? What are you talking about?
Ron just nods with a pale, sweaty expression, and then also his mustache is paler, too.
Yeah, your mustache turns white. Yes, absolutely. Okay, your mustache is not white.
Yes.
Hey, so it looks like we're going to win this again, guys. Just saying.
I mean, he said he was going to get rid of magic, maybe.
No, but I do want to point out that just because I'm a wombat and I can burrow on our turns doesn't mean we're not going to have to play defense when they come up against us. I don't know that me being able to wriggle under the ground is going to help us when like it's their turn to run the ball.
But once we get 1 point ahead, we can just like run down the clock.
That's true.
That's what I say. You can just keep the ball under the ground. That was what I was getting at. And just sit there until the clock runs out. That's my plan.
Oh, no. That's a good plan, Daryl. I love that.
You want to just call the beholder and see maybe he can just like fast forward this whole thing.
The beholder floats down to you guys and goes,
hey, idiots, hey, assholes, hey, turds. So I was thinking, you win. I don't like this. I don't like it.
Yes.
I could either make a new rule that says you can't be a wombat, but then I'd be making rules for everything. That's stupid. I have an anti-magic ray.
He vomits an anti-magic ray at all of you, and like you turn back into a human and all the magic and stuff goes away.
You could use that, but that just feels like I'd have to use that on everybody.
Did you hear that we were going to just hide the ball underground? Did you hear
No,
us?
But that sounds like something you would do. So yeah, no, I figured let's just get you out of the fucking stadium. Let's get the fans back in, the real football fans. You guys are fake football fans.
Listen, I've talked to the sponsors, and we can't have this.
Mountain Dew's pulling out.
We're losing all of our sponsors. Mountain Dew is disgusted by what you've done to their brand. So yeah, no, fuck it. Here's the Super Bowl.
And he rolls out his tongue.
Oh, man.
And the Super Bowl sort of clatters onto the ground next to you.
So yeah, here's the bowl, but obviously give me the... You want the money, right?
No, we actually want the bowl, man.
No, we're in the bowl.
But the... Oh my God, you could not disrespect this sport more. The bowl represent...
Well, hold on, man. Hold on, man. I think we've found some problems with this sport. Let me just take you aside here and bend your ear or ears, I guess, a little bit. What do you call this sport again?
It's catch the ball, throw the ball, run the ball across the field.
That's too much of a mouthful. What about Glen Bowl? Glen Ball, you know?
Glen Bowl.
Roll persuasion.
Glen Bowl.
It's weird. You walked into the wrong stadium, motherfucker, because that persuasion roll is a 25 total.
So is it Glen Ball or Glen Bowl?
I like Glen Bowl.
Glen Bowl. It's Glen Bowl, you know? And I was thinking you guys can really razzmatazz this place. And Glenn basically kind of pulls him aside and gives him, he basically pitches him the XFL. Because, you know, it's like, we've showed kind of the deficiencies in your model. And I just think that this might be a way to rebrand and reinvigorate your sport. Glenn makes a business pitch.
I hate you, and yet you're right. So I'm going to steal this idea. It is mine now. Glen Bowl. It's called Glen Bowl, and it was my idea, and it always has been.
Oh, dang.
Hey, everybody, it's called Glen Bowl now.
And everybody in the stands is like, well, it's way better.
Yeah, yeah, I know, right?
How did Yeet and Killa and all them feel about the fact that game just ended on
so
them?
So you can hear Yeet being like, guys, I know that was a bad first half, but I know that if we just stick together, we're the ragtag group of kids that can really do this. Hey, you, I know that your mom's operation is riding on this this is going to be a big day for all of us, and I think we could probably go pro if we win this one. Well, sorry, what? And the beholder's like,
yeah, no, we're not. They win, so we're not doing any of that.
And his wheels stop spinning for the first time you've ever seen. Okay, so everybody give me perception rolls.
18 plus 2, 20.
19 plus 1, 20.
Nice.
I got an 11 plus 1.
I have disadvantage on perception checks too. Is that the deal?
Anything that's modified by wisdom, and unfortunately perception is modified
by
wisdom.
It's my whole character, man.
I don't
like
that.
I got a 12.
Okay.
Let me roll again. I got 16 plus 1, 17.
So everybody that got above a 15.
Nice.
You see that the grass on the field is beginning to shake back and forth. And as you look at the grass, you see that it's trying to form words. But with the grass all dug up because of the mole, you can only make out parts of the words.
What the fuck?
And it seems to say, don't, and then the letter B, and then you can't make out what's in the rest of the word. And then again, the letter B, and you can't make out what's the rest of the word. It seems to be three words.
Whoa, the grass is like moving, guys.
Oh, it looks like it's trying to say something. Hang on. And I press my ear to the ground and I cast speak with grass, or speak with plants is the spell.
The spell is only for speaking with grass.
It's only for dads when they want to know what's wrong with their lawn.
So the grass says, Aaron says, don't break the bowl. Aaron says, don't do it.
Guys, don't break the bowl. Aaron says, don't break the bowl. Did she say why? Did she say anything about that? Blades of grass?
She should be close. And so as he says that, you see Aaron holding a very large leaf sort of gracefully float down like Mary Poppins and land next to you guys. And she sees that you've got the bowl, but her face is like white as a sheet. And she looks at Daryl and she says, Daryl, I need to talk to you and Peyton and only you two.
I look at Grant's like, hey, buddy, I'm going to go walk over here and talk to Aaron and then we'll talk afterwards.
Grant's like, I really don't care. It's fine.
Well,
whatever you want to do is fine. He's watching Yeet go back into the lockers. Yeet stops for a second and you can see Grant like stepping on his tiptoes, like, is he going to turn around? He's going to turn around. And Yeet does not turn around and just heads back into the locker room looking pretty upset with himself. And Grant just sits down on the field and sort of just stares at the grass. Aaron takes you aside into a relatively quiet corner of the stadium and she's holding the supper bowl in her hands. And she says, this isn't the anchor. This is a, do you know what a pass fake is?
I mean, it's usually a fake pass, but yeah, sure. What a pass fake is.
After we talked about the tethers and the anchors and stuff, I started doing some divination spells and I found out that you said you were going for the one here. It's not actually an anchor of itself. It's a mask for an anchor. It's been cloaking an already extant anchor. So once you destroy this thing, like all the anchors, you're going to have to destroy. You have to break these things.
Yeah.
So once you destroy this, it's going to show you the real anchor.
Well, then why not destroy it?
Well, I want you to understand what you'll be doing if you destroy it and how you kind of can't unring that bell. Peyton, I'm so, so sorry to do this to you, but you're not from here. You know that, right? And Peyton's like, I don't follow what you're saying, my lady. I don't know what you mean. And she says, Willie brought you here.
Wait, from our world?
Yeah, in a sense. I thought there was something weird about Peyton when I first met him, and I kind of sort of secretly took some of his hair while you guys were talking once, and like, it's not a thing, it's not weird, it's weird, but it's not that weird.
It's a little weird, Aaron, but okay.
He has a lot of memories that are being contained inside of this object, and if you break it, all the memories are going to come out, and you're going to know what the anchor really is. I don't know for sure, but I have a pretty good idea what the anchor is, and I think you do too.
Aaron, you're giving me too much credit. I'm not that smart.
Okay.
I don't really have an idea, but...
What I would posit to you then is you could just keep going on your adventure with this bowl and not break it until the very last possible minute, and things will be good for you for potentially a very long time for the rest of your adventure, and you won't have to do something that could be something that you won't want to do.
Can I ask, Aaron, why did you bring Peyton into this? It feels like two unrelated things.
Because you both have to make this decision together.
Wait, are you saying Peyton's the anchor?
I'm saying
Payton's the anchor, and I think Payton is holding the soul of your dad.
I look at Payton. What does Payton say?
Payton's like, what? No.
Wait, not Payton? Payton,
no. No. I'm the main man. I'm your paid dad. I mean, no, you got me confused.
Yeah, I mean, Payton's awesome. My dad was awesome, but they're not the... But wait, no.
I mean, I look at him as sort of, you know, like somebody I could give advice to and take advice from, kind of a give and take thing, but I'm not his dad. Like, that's... Aaron says, no, it's the soul of his dad is inside you. And when you break this thing, this mask, the Supper Bowl, all those memories are going to come flooding back.
Wait, and then I'm going to have to destroy him?
If you want to leave here with Grant, I am so, so sorry. But Payton, all of the memories that you've had, whoever you are now is going to be not lost because you'll still remember all the times you had as Payton. But you're going to immediately remember being Daryl's dad, if I've got this right. And then if you want to leave the Forgotten Realms, you have to get rid of him. And I'm sorry. I wish there were another way to do this. That's why I didn't want to tell this in front of the others, because it's not their business. It's only the business of the two of you.
I mean, no, they got to know. I mean, we're all in this together. I mean, I'm not going to kill you, Payton.
I'd like to see you try.
Okay.
But also, like, if you don't do that, you can't go back. What about Grant?
I don't know. Hey, thanks, Aaron. I wave. I go, hey, guys.
Hey, Daryl, what's up? What happened? What's going on?
Hey, guys. So, like, quick thing. So, Payton's my dad.
What?
Since when?
Dungeons and Daddies is Matt Arnold as Daryl Wilson, Anthony Birch as our DM, Will Campos as Henry Oak, Beth May as Ron Stampler, and myself, Freddie Wong, as Glenn Close. Theme song and outro is All Right by Maxton Waller. This show is supported by a Patreon, populated by fine patrons. In addition to getting all kinds of behind-the-scenes and bonus content, they also get a special little spot right here in the credits where I shout them out. Folks like Assorted Fruits, Josh Simons, Tal ST, Tal Street... unclear. Emmy Helfrich, Cody Dunn, Paul Fagundes, Corpse Kitten, U-Mazes, Marlo Geisler, and Otter Pigeon. Hey, you want a chat show that we record after each episode talking about the campaign? What about entire bonus one-shots played in other systems? Or Anthony's DM notes, like the system he came up with for football that, frankly, we never really had a chance to test. You can get that and more on our Patreon at patreon.com/dungeonsanddads. Support the show directly, get content, get ad-free episodes, join us on live listens. The list goes on. Check it out. You want to support us in other ways? You can do that at our website at dungeonsanddaddies.com, where we got t-shirts, pins, stickers, you know, that podcast merch. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/dungeonsanddads. All kinds of discussions happening on the subreddit at reddit.com/r/dungeonsanddaddies. Our next episode's coming out July 7th. So until then, stay safe. Have a good barbecue if you're in the U.S. Actually, you know what? You can have a good barbecue anywhere. We'll see you then. There was a time when you could read between the lines. You know they never brought you down. Never brought you down.
Listen, we were so good last episode. We were so, like, following the rules of you and stuff.
Were you?
We were.
You turned into a bird.
No, that was your fault. That you didn't think about that.
Dungeons and Daddies is brought to you this week by KiwiCo. It's time. KiwiCo. It's summertime. You ever do outdoor stuff in the summer? I would ride bikes.
No, I've never gone outside.
What, never gone. What, well, what is not outside? Not in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Did you bike ride when you were like out in the summer, or would you just bake?
So when I was in Tucson, when I was like bike riding age, and yeah, we would just bake alive. The asphalt was so hot. And then by the time I was in Phoenix, I was in college. You know who rides bikes? I do, to get to class and to get to other places. And it was very hot. Yes.
So
okay.
KiwiCo is inviting kids and kids at heart to enjoy their first ever summer adventure series. Ooh. Kids from 2 years old to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project. They have something for everyone, and they offer different topics for each age, whether your child wants to explore space,
hell
or learn
yeah.
about dinosaurs,
yes.
or learn about how dinosaurs were killed by an object from
oh
space.
My God.
Whoa.
I do have to say, looking at the KiwiCo website, there is a physics project for kids age 5 and up. That is pinball. Are you freaking kidding
me? Look at this marble roller coaster.
KiwiCo encourages kids to get outside, explore, and to stay off their screens. Awesome projects from the Summer Adventure Series, like the Bottle Rocket Kit, where you build an actual bottle rocket, but not the kind that you light with a lighter, help to turn the outdoors into a playground of learning and fun. And Matt is the parent in the room here.
Yeah.
Keeping your kid busy and creatively challenged.
Constant struggle.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to avoid those screens. Then you got it.
That's
the
problem, is that screens made them.
Oh my
God. Really
screens make it
way.
So easy, but you want to avoid those screens. So you got to come up with fun stuff to do, activities. Whoa. And like, look, you got a whole range, but you know how like you think you're prepared and you've got like a whole list of things? You're like, these activities, this is going to last until my kid's in college.
No.
You were now then by like age 4.
KiwiCo
does
like,
I've already
like,
done all the marshmallows with toothpicks and all the like make your own water. But I've done all these things.
KiwiCo's doing that legwork for you, so you can spend quality time just tackling the projects together. It must be nice, Matt, to be able to do these and just be like, I don't have to think. I can just play with
do
it. Convenient and personalized. You'll receive either all your summer adventure crates at once or weekly for 6 weeks. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at KiwiCo.com/summerdaddies. That's the best code we've gotten
That's
so
really
far.
Good. That's good.
20% off your summer adventure at Kiwi, KIWICO.com/summerdaddies. One word, summer daddies. Dungeons and Dads is brought to you this week by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life?
All the moms.
The moms, the MILFs.
How come none of
moms
these
moms I'd like to frame?
Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame.
Hey Aura, challenge accepted on unlimited photos.
Unlimited. You can personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. For Mother's Day, it's your great Mother's Day gift. You know what I mean? Just send her some pictures of you doing stuff. From grandmothers to new mothers. Okay. Well, no, like activities. From grandmothers to new mothers.
What activities are we talking about here?
Aunts and even the friends in your life. Every mom loves
friends.
And named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. There's a lot of things that can bring joy to moms of all ages.
Nice.
I'll tell you what. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code Dungeons at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.